Welcome to Don't Be Caged by Your Age, a podcast devoted to dissolving ageist beliefs and fears and providing pathways for you to repurpose, reimagine, and reinvent your decades of lived experiences. I'm your host, Andy Lyons, celebrating my 67th year of living, and I know you'll find the resources, ideas, and inspiration you need to thrive after 65. Listeners, this episode is a powerful reminder that potential is ageless. At 71, Sandra Allison has a booming resume services business, a result from being fired at age 58. We discuss overcoming ageist challenges in the workplace, the secrets to optimizing your resume against AI and ATS systems to avoid discrimination, and much more to help you have a successful job search for your working retirement years. What I loved learning about Sandra, she's been gaming since before personal computers, and her handle is Elder Goddess. Stay tuned for a delicious and actionable conversation. Welcome to Don't Be Caged by Your Age, Sandra. I'm so happy you're here to share your insights, stories, and advice with our listeners.
I am really, really glad to be here. I am so honored to be able to help you out with this.
Oh, this is wonderful. Listeners, you probably know that I wrote a post a year and a half ago when I turned 66. I had the Root US 66 sign in my hand, and I talked about what it was like to be in the startup ecosystem at that age. And wow, my post on LinkedIn went viral. So when I launched the podcast, Don't Be Caged by Your Age, I went and looked in the comments because I met so many wonderful folks over 60 who were like, heck no, I haven't stopped working. I haven't stopped pursuing dreams. I'm doing all these crazy, wonderful things. And Sandra was one of them. And so you're going to learn all about how she vibes in the world in this delicious conversation. So Sandra, what is your age and where are you hailing from?
Well, I'm hailing from South Central Pennsylvania, right outside of the capital, Harrisburg. But I lived most of my life at the shore in Cape May, New Jersey. And actually, I'm going to be 71 years old in 11 days.
Hey, happy birthday. I'll get the clappers out for that and celebrate. That's wonderful.
I can't believe it, but there I am.
Here you are. Just because the clock strikes midnight, listeners, on a milestone age doesn't mean you got to go wrap it up and stop whatever it is you're doing. Sandra, please share a surprising, wild, super fun story from your career and life, just to give us a flavor of where you've been and who you are.
A couple come to mind because I really haven't had a life that's run the rails. I'm a little left of center, people say, and I don't mean politically, just a little bit out there.
You didn't do the traditional career path. Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't. But that was mainly because of timing, because I came of age in 1972. And it was a different time back then. It was a very bad time. When today's youth and the Gen Zers talk about how awful it is, well, it's been awful before and it'll be awful again. I'm a child of that era. I'm also a child of that era where women had to get higher scores on their SATs in order to go to college. I was in college, but had to drop out because it was a Jimmy Carter administration, and we had a huge recession and gas lines. I don't know if anybody remembers gas lines, but odd and even days, you were allowed to get gas. The internet hadn't been invented, so I was laid off, and I remember waiting in Harrisburg, literally outside the door, around two blocks in line to get my biweekly check. And I ended up going from a journalist major to being a salesperson at JCPenney.
Oh, my gosh. Listeners, I know those of you out there who recall those gas lines. It was such a shock. We were paying like 29 cents a gallon back in the day. And all of a sudden, it shot up into the twos, $2 and something. And you couldn't even get it. You had to plan your life around, where am I going to get the gas? And how long am I going to have to wait in line for that gas? Tough times. So you had a pathway of college, which is wonderful. When we came of age, we had thought a lot about, yes, we're going to college or at least an associate's degree. And there you were at JCPenney. How'd you turn things around?
I started selling curtains, and I always wanted to be an interior designer. So I moved into this as secretary receptionist in the interior design department. And then I moved from there to become an interior design trainee at a high-end firm. And I was an interior designer, still am, for 40 years as one of my jobs. I've had many jobs simultaneously. I've worked up to 3 jobs at once. But you had asked me about a funny story. And what I'm trying to get back to is I've always been that little bit of different. And I'm a gamer. I'm a hardcore gamer.
What kind of gamer?
I don't mean Candy Crush. I mean shooters and zombies and
games.
Oh, my gosh.
We're having a don't be caged by your age moment, folks, because even I had a bias. What? Sandra, you're 71 and you're a gamer. What does that really mean at 71 you're a gamer? You're bona fide.
People my age invented it. I've been gaming since before computers, when we used to do it on mainframes. We would fill out a punch card and send in a turn, and every 2 weeks we'd get a punch card back. And we do everything on graph paper. So I've been gaming since 1980, early 80s, before they even had personal computers. I'm a gamer. So that makes me a little bit different. Shooting zombies is what I do for leisure. So I've always worked in kind of conservative fields because I've been in nonprofits most of my life. And then there's the side of me that's the gamer. I don't always tell people that because they just can't reconcile it, that I'm at home shooting zombies at 3 a.m. in the morning for 6 hours. But when I was at an art center, when I was assistant director of the Mid-Atlantic Center for the Arts in Cape May, New Jersey, I had a boss who, I was in my late 30s at the time, I had a boss who just didn't get me at all. And he was furious with me because, and he called me a menopausal fireball. And I was about 38 or so at the time.
And yeah, you're not even close to perimenopause, let alone.
No, and he made a big deal out of it. So I will never forget that. What I also remember very clearly is that about 3 months later, they fired him and I replaced him.
Oh, sweet. Clappers out for that story, too.
Yeah.
But oh, my gosh, I don't think I'm ever going to forget that I was shooting zombies at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. And I just love this whole story, Sandra. This is so wonderful. This is the surprising things we learn about our guests, right, listeners? I didn't see that coming. That's wonderful.
And also, they're having to outfit nursing homes now with computers because so many of us are gamers.
What a wonderful thing. This is like a whole new world that I had no idea about. There we go. Don't be caged by your age, folks. Gaming is a lot of fun. It uses a lot of skills. And here's a fact I don't think many people really understand, Sandra, which is the fact that it is a very social experience. It is team building. It's community. They constantly are talking and encouraging each other and planning. Is that your experience as well?
Well, most people don't know how old I am because I don't necessarily sound the stereotypical old, but my gaming name is Elder Goddess.
And listeners who know me so well, I'm all about the goddess, right? Oh my gosh, that is so delicious. Sandra, thank you for sharing that with us. And so when you were building your non-traditional career, I'm getting that you had a lot of multifaceted talents between being able to understand the coding and everything behind gaming to interior design. That takes a lot of creativity. How did you lead to where you are today? Because we're going to talk about your wonderful business in a bit, but how did you see your aging career as you were looking forward? What were you considering during this time? And did you have any role models that provided either that indoctrination, go play golf, go out to the pasture at 65, or did you have other role models?
I don't know how to put this. I had a really, really successful father. And he never put direct pressure on me, but I always emulated him. I wanted to make people proud. But because I had a rebellious streak, I was the kid that got in trouble because at the age of 6, I led about a dozen of my neighborhood kids to take a ride around Center City, Harrisburg on our tricycles. And so I was always kind of like a leader from a very young age. And I never felt held back by sexism of all things, even though it was big back then. I never even considered it a problem because I just ignored it. I ignored aging. I ignored retiring at 65. If I saw something, I went for it. I wanted to be a writer since I was 6. And I wanted to be an artist. And I wanted to write and illustrate books. But I'm not a creative writer. I'm a technical writer. I discovered I don't have the talent to write stories. I have the talent to write technical documents. So I did a lot of marketing through my years in nonprofits. And then that turned and interior design both at the same time. And then after I retired, which, by the way, I call it retirement, I was fired at the age of 58. My first job I was ever fired from in my entire life, and it was not my fault. We all got fired. So I ended up being retired at 58 from a chamber of commerce where I did a lot of writing again. And that goes into my story of how I got into resume writing, if you want me to go on.
Yes, I'd love that. It's a beautiful segue. Right. Because as folks know, when you get fired, whether it's a reduction in force or you get let go or you're a rebel rouser, you're just not a fit, or who cares? You're let go, the end, see you, bye. It can open a lot of other doors for you. So Sandra, tell us what happened, because I think you also had a lot of HR experience behind you. So you had a little bit of an understanding of resumes.
Well, as the assistant director of Mid-Atlantic Center for the Arts, I had over 100 employees report to me, including division heads. And I ran a $2 million budget. So I hired approximately 500 people during my years there. And I was the head of HR and wrote their first HR handbook.
So you understand the hiring process, what the buyer is looking for, right?
Exactly. But I'd been out of it for a number of years. So when I started applying for jobs at the age of 60, really, is when I started to apply for jobs, nobody would even interview me. It was 100 things out there and nothing was happening. I couldn't get even any action at all. And I have a pretty good resume all these years that I've built up. The way I always think is that something's going wrong. What am I doing wrong? I don't always think, what are they doing wrong? What am I doing wrong?
Who can relate, listeners? Can you relate to that? I can't.
I joined a top resume writing service as a newbie because I had never written a resume before. They're still in business. They're the best, what I call resume mill. They flip resumes real quick. They're the best in the business. They trained me really well. But I was one of their first hires. They were fairly new back then. So they were advertising work from home, blah, blah, blah. And I have to work from home because something that you don't know, and it's not in my documents, is I'm also mostly blind. I lost the sight in my right eye when I was in my 40s, and I'm losing the sight in my left eye. So I have to work from home. I'm not legal to drive. So I said, well, let's give it a try. So I applied, and they hired me. And within 6 months, they were using my resumes as samples for their new students. And they have a guarantee where if you don't like what has been written by them, they'll rewrite it for free. And they put me into that. So I started rewriting the new resume. I just found I had a knack for it. I guess I absorbed a lot of that over the years.
Well, it was a beautiful combination of your technical writing skills and your understanding of the, quote, buyer, you know, the person who's going to be hiring and what they needed to see, coupled with your ability to not creatively tell a story, but explain someone's background in a way that made sense.
Yep. And I was with them for almost 5 years, but then I kept getting headhunted. I never applied for another job, but jobs kept falling in my lap because I got a reputation across the industry. And I just progressed up and up and up and up and up until I reached where I did have a mentor about 3 or 4 years ago when I went into board candidacy writing. I had a mentor and she was fabulous. And I discovered networking. And after 3 years with her, she said, you know what? It's time for you to go out on your own by, because she felt that I had outpaced what was going on. And she told me to start my own business. So I did. And so at the age of 68, I went out on my own and hung my own shingle out there, freaking out scared. I think that the most telling thing I can tell your audience, you out there, it always go for the brass ring. Never be afraid to hear no. I was making $45 when I did a resume for this large firm, and now I charge between $2,000 and $3,000 for the same work. It's not exactly the same work, takes me a lot longer to do these resumes. I do interviews. I offer a lot beyond service that the top resume company did. But that's the difference in where I've been and where I've gone. I also have certifications. I constantly study. It is my life.
Congratulations for launching a business after 65 years of age. That's tremendous. Clappers out again, listeners. Round of applause for Sandra. And also for not letting your disabilities get in the way, what you want to do and how you want to thrive in life. And we're going to be talking more about that, listeners, on how the body ages, things happen, life happens, right? Thank you so much, Sandra, for saying that. And folks, Sandra's website is saresumeservices.com. Okay. And what I love about her website, yes, you know, get the home, about, testimonials, etc. But she has on her services tab all about investing in yourself to optimize your chances of influencing change, right? Whether it's through a more fulfilling career or through board service. So she has the services for board candidates. She has services for C-suite executives, for rising executives. She has the full package of everything wrapped up, or an a la carte menu. So it can be a resume review, initial CV, et cetera. This is so important. These services are so impactful. How do you help folks get past the algorithm? And I say this from personal experience. I had to go look for work. I've really been unemployable, listeners, since 1992. But I'm a four-time founder for a reason. But I did need to help the family out under a tough circumstance. And I tried my best to get a job. I didn't even get it like a thank you for applying note, let alone an interview. Yes, I was 60. So, of course, I was getting ageism then. But how do you get past that algorithm where they're looking through keywords? How does that work for you and the services that you provide, Sandra?
First of all, it's a fact of life, and AI is getting worse, not better. I'm sorry. It's going to go through an infancy period where it is really worse. Do not have your resume written by AI. It is going to fail 100% of the time. I've had to learn how to pass automated tracking software, ATS systems. Today, if you apply for a job online, 98% of them are going to go through ATS systems. ATS systems are getting smarter, but they're still not there. There's a whole lot that they don't see and don't read. For example, some people mistakenly put their name and address in the header of the page. ATS systems don't read the header. So if you never hear back, it's because they have no idea who you are. But there are a lot of mistakes you can make. They don't read tables. They don't read graphics. They don't read captions on illustrations. Some of this is changing and some of it is the same. It depends on how sophisticated the unit is used by the corporation who buys it. There's one ATS, but it can be programmed individually by everybody to do its thing. And that's where we go into, I think, the meat of the matter today, how to get past the hidden stuff that's in there. Since they can't legally ask you some questions, how do they tell how old you are? What are you doing in that resume that's giving you away that you're not even aware of? And these are things that I've learned.
That is so powerful. And you're up against the bias that corporations have. Listeners, we learned all about this in episode one with Victoria Tomlinson. The bias that corporations have a belief that you become permafrost in your late 50s and that you have no ambition left. So why invest in you? Why keep helping you up your game through trainings and seminars and workshops? No, you're just going to buy your time until it's time to scoot you out to the pasture. That is garbage. And you know that, listeners. I know that. Sandra knows that. And I love that you have a way to help someone with their resume that won't give certain information away so that that intrinsic bias doesn't hurt them, correct?
Correct. And I do have a couple of tips that you might be interested in. One of the big ones that wows everybody, in fact, it's been heralded as an urban myth that is not an urban myth. I know that for a fact. Skip one space after a period. Don't skip two spaces after a hard stop. They can actually program an ATS system to look for that.
Yeah.
And they assume that if you skip two spaces, that you're over 50. because that's how we learned it in the olden days. But it's
that's
not
right
now.
I had to unlearn that two spaces in the OOs.
Oh, it took me almost a year to become natural at it. Another one is your email address. And that's a real easy giveaway. Do not use AOL, Hotmail, Yahoo, any of these very old email addresses. Stick to Google or your company name if you're still active. They're safe. That's another way they can gauge your age. Do not put references upon request at the bottom. People still do that, and nobody ever wants to see that. Boy, that's telling. And another big one is everybody thinks, because we learned this growing up in my age group, that Times New Roman is what you type in. Well, Times New Roman is not what you type in. Times New Roman, I don't know if people know the difference between a serif and a sans serif font. A serif font has those little feet at the bottom of the letters, and a sans serif font is much cleaner, easier to read.
Modern.
Calibri, which is my default. So make sure that you're using an easy to read font, but make sure it's not Times New Roman. These are just a few of the things I don't think would ever occur to you that a resume writer will know that are going to derail you.
Oh my gosh, this is gold information right here. And how do you feel about Canva? Because Canva has some nice templates all ready to glow up there for resumes. Because you see some people put out some graphically designed wowza resumes. What are your thoughts?
I just read about that again this morning because I brought in a second writer. She's into graphic designed resumes. I don't do them. Unless you're applying for a job in an artistic field, or if you're a marketer, you can get away with that. ATS systems don't read half of that. Many of them don't. You'll never even get past the AI. I belonged to the Society for Human Resource Managers for several years, and I used to ask them questions on their boards to ask them, how am I doing this right? What am I doing wrong? What would you look for in a resume? And I had a lot of conversations about this. They hate graphic designed resumes. What a waste of space. You put a cute little graphic in there and just think of all the stuff you left out that might have been important to say. When you get into a board level and a high level like I do, because I don't just work with C-suite candidates, I work with some of the top partners and business people in the world. They don't want to see that crud. They don't want to see it. It's juvenile.
It's okay, so they want to see the traditional resume.
They want it to be able, they want to read it. People read resumes. You've heard this, the 6 or 8 second rule. They also read them, get this. I've studied brain studies of this, how people read resumes. They go from the upper right to the bottom left. So all of the most important information needs to be in the left-hand side of the page, at the top, going down to the bottom. If they like your first third, they'll read further. Most never read past the first third.
Oh,
and that's all true. That studies have been done. And these are the kinds of things that, well, at least me, I don't know if all resume writers do that, but this is the kind of stuff I research, the psychology. Orange is the most hated color in the United States, but it is very appropriate for marketing resumes. Blue, if you're in a conservative field, blue is the direction you go. If you're in tech, bright blue and gold and vivid green. There are actual psychological colors to use for various fields. There's all kinds of stuff you can use. Instead of little tables and graphics and charts and cutesy things, it looks like you're desperate. You don't have enough information to say, so you had to fill in with a little jazz. And that's not to say you can't have a jazzy resume, but not at the expense of what you're trying to say.
That's right. And understanding the rules of the game. And we're hearing this from the gamer goddess, okay, the elder goddess here. These are so important that we need to know, because it's how you get past and get that coveted interview, the callback. So I'm going to have a link for Sandra's phenomenal blog post here. It's called Gotcha, Resume Aging Traps and Tells. That link will be in the show notes, everybody. And I really want you to go to her website, saresumeservices.com. You will love this. And folks, why not be on a board? You can get some good money being on the board, right, Sandra?
It depends. Nonprofit boards, no. But corporate boards, I do people who do that for their living. They have a portfolio of boards. And yes, you make a huge amount of money doing that, which is why I charge a big amount of money. But that has ageism too. Go ahead. Black young people, if you're 80, your chances are pretty low.
I understand that. We're seeing a lot of intergenerational conversations. I know, having been in the startup industry, my biggest fan club was 35 and under. I mean, I could have been everyone's grandmother, but they couldn't get enough of me. So I understand that intergenerational relationships are wonderful, key. I still have some really close friends who are under 30 that we have great conversations and meaningful times together. But when does ageism really kick in for resumes?
Ageism is a two-way street. Most people don't realize I'm 71 years old. Okay. And if you see my picture on my website, that's only a month old. And it's not retouched. Nothing about me is retouched today. When I was 28, I looked like I was 14. Yeah. I couldn't get a job because nobody thought I was old enough. And that worked really well for me between the ages of 45 and 65. Yes. But now that I've hit my 70s, I'm starting to catch up to myself. I used to pass for 20 years younger as much as a few years ago. I don't anymore. I'm more like, oh, she looks like she's in her 60s, maybe. So I think appearance does have more to do with it than it should, which is why it's illegal, in fact, to put photographs on your resume. But the actual federal age of discrimination is 40, which I find interesting. That's when you can start, if you're let go due to a reason that you can prove is ageist, that's when you can sue. So the federal discrimination age starts at 40. And what makes that interesting is 32 states plus the District of Columbia impose a mandatory retirement age of 70. That mandatory retirement age is for jobs having to do with the public safety, professions such as firefighters, nuclear workers. When did age become thing in the United States? They don't do this all over the world.
Well, we learned from Victoria on episode one called Wasting, Ageism is Wasting a Generation of Talent. And you'll hear Victoria give the stats for and the history behind how did this mandatory retirement age come about. But as everything happens in life, as we evolve, as we grow as a society, certain rules are made to be broken.
Well, in the 20th century, what I also found interesting, first of all, some of these terms like golden age or geriatric, the things I hate, the word fogey is actually from the 1600s and means veteran. Senior citizen, though, I hate worse. The senior citizen actually was a term coined in the 20th century to label the old. It was the first one to label old as a political constituency.
Oh, my gosh.
During my lifetime, it was coined for politicians to appeal to older people. They started referring to them as senior citizens. So that's actually a politically loaded statement. And my current fave is boomer. I just despise being called a boomer because my son, who is 39, a Gen Xer, thinks that, of course, the boomers, everything that's wrong with the world is our fault.
It's our fault. I have a Zoomer. And so I understand how they can look at us and go, what the? They don't understand a lot of the things they have today. It's because we broke the mold, right?
Right. There are just some terms that are, I mean, you can do whatever you want. I call myself elder goddess. That's my term. But if I do refer to myself, I'll generally refer to myself as I'm old. But old is such a catch-all phrase, you know? And I don't use it a lot. I don't refer to my age much, like you. My friends are all different ages. My husband is 8 years younger than I am.
Clappers.
He has been 8 years younger than me for the 42 years or so. To me, everybody is just who they are. That's why I don't like terms, period.
Yeah. It discriminates. It puts us into a category. And it shows that there's otherism out there. So, oh, you look great for your age. Well, what am I supposed to look like, right? Or aging gracefully. That means, and that's an ageist statement, listeners, aging gracefully means that some people are not aging gracefully. And there you go. You've got your otherism happening.
I hate being called grandma.
Oh, tell me more about this.
Grandma was thrown around out there as a catch-all. And I do, like LinkedIn got into so much trouble for that horrible advertisement they were running where that they had that older woman with the, my son works in the cloud. I don't know if he's in heaven or not. That kind of thing. But do you ever see it? You always see headlines, grandma was hit by a car. Grandma was killed in drive-by yesterday. Do you ever see grandpa died in a drive-by yesterday? Grandpa was hit by a car. It just, that one really bugs. I am a grandma. I'm a grandy, actually, which is the Welsh version of grandma. I do have two grandchildren, but that's not how I define myself.
No, and I love the name Grandy, by the way.
That's Welsh. Grandy Sandy.
It's perfect. We've come up with a new name. Yay. Thank you for this incredible conversation regarding ageism and especially for how we can move forward, still be active, and take those decades of lived experiences, bundle it up, and frame it up in a way that we become hireable and desirable, which we are for any corporation. We may not want to work the 45 plus hours a week. We may want to come in on a 30-hour week. Have you heard anybody talk about that? How folks, maybe as they get older, they still want to be involved, but not at the level of the hustle that some corporations require?
That people are still at my age and yours, and I hope a lot of you, they are out there ready to put in what they need to. Don't use. Age is just a number. I want to smack everybody that says that.
I'm going to stop using that. Tell me why.
Well, you alluded to it earlier. I find it very down-putting because I have arthritis and I can't walk as well as I used to. I'm going blind. I can't drive. And I don't want people to constantly, I forget things, so I make 6,000 lists. I don't want to constantly be told, oh, age is just a number, because it's like denigrating, then I must have something wrong with me because I have to use a cane because I have to use a cane or because I wear thick glasses. Or to me, that is just a very off-putting statement to someone who is fighting the regular progression of age in a normal way to feel like they have some disease.
Exactly. And also, and listeners, I feel very strongly about this. I'd love to know how you feel about it, which is, hey, it's great for those of you who want to be in front of the weights and lifting and doing the bodybuilder thing in your 70s and 80s, if that's what turns you on and all the foods and everything. But some of us want to just, you know, also be a little bit on the couch potato side. We want to certainly move our body, but it's okay, right, Sandra? How we age is a choice as well. And I hear you on that grandma versus grandpa scene where, once again, it's ageism plus sexism. Brought to you by society. And it can get really tough out there. But I don't want to categorize how people are supposed to move. I mean, I heard one woman, she was talking about her 20,000 steps a day. I'm like, please, settle down.
I did have to use a cane for just a short time. So I sure made sure it was a statement when I bought that cane.
Yeah.
It's more of a staff like a wizard would carry. I think it's important to learn who you are.
That's right. And a lot of times it's our DNA. Sometimes, you know, or maybe we were an intense athlete, right, in some extreme sport. We're going to be hobbling at certain ages and not be super elder. But yeah, I just love this conversation. I could go on forever. I'm probably going to have you back again because we have so much more to cover. Thank you. What ages do you work with at SA Resume?
I work with all ages, but I would say because of the level that I specialize in, most of my clients are over 40.
Okay. That's wonderful to know.
Most are women.
And
because they're discriminated against the most.
And that is a true story, folks. What final piece of advice would you like to share with our listeners to help them from being caged by their age?
I've been a hippie from the 60s and a tree hugger ever since I was a kid. So one of the things that I think is really, really important is I fight for social equity. And I've done that from the inside for years. Getting people on boards, if you have any interest in board service, I'm helping to put people into positions where they can have a top-down effect, where you can make a difference, where your voice can be heard to change some of this so that you're not passing this along to the newer generations. Get yourself a corporate voice. Get yourself a voice at that table. Be active. Grab for the brass ring. Don't be afraid to hear no. Just do it. Make yourself visible. That's what I would suggest.
Get a seat at the table, listeners. That's how you make change. That's how you make policy change. It's how you make societal change. I love that, you hippie you, you elder goddess. Thank you so, so much, Sandra, for sharing your wisdom with us today. Listeners, we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on this delicious conversation with Sandra Allison, the founder of SA Resume Services? I'll have all the links to Sandra. You just hop on LinkedIn if you want to find her, but visit her website. The fees that she charges are a tremendous investment. I know you can find the funds to do this for yourself because you can get the job that you want and be living a more fulfilled life by learning how to play the game of the resume search software. It can be so discouraging. Anyway, we're here to support each other as we figure out how to thrive after 65. Thank you, Sandra. What a treat to spend time with you and learn from you. And listeners, remember, you have so much to give. Don't let those internalized ageist beliefs prevent you from pursuing new dreams and opportunities, no matter what age you're at. Until next time, I'm wishing you a delicious day everywhere you glow. Cheers from Boston. Bye.
Fine. Thank you.
Listeners, I'm so grateful you carved out time to tune in and grab the gems from this delicious conversation. Be sure to hop on over to Don't Be Caged by Your Age on LinkedIn or Instagram to share your thoughts about ageism and unretirement. Because in this space, your age doesn't define you, it refines you. If you are inspired by a story you hear, it would mean the world to me if you would subscribe, share, rate, and review the podcast. To receive an alert whenever a new show is posted, please join the Don't Be Caged by Your Age newsletter. Every month, you'll receive links to the podcast and helpful resources for creating possibilities for your unretirement days. Thank you for tuning in. I am so excited to hear how you found ways to thrive after 65. Waving from Boston, cheers.